It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you're having a tremendous Wednesday. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This is a 4-hour show. I get started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our super producer and host in New York City, Ryan Hickey. Thank you so much to Greg Frank for helping to hold things down. And thank you to you for listening, because if you ain't here, if you're not listening there, well, there is no show. I think we all know that. You can always tune in on the free Odyssey app. You can lock in on your local Infinity Sports Network radio affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. If you got a smart speaker, talk to the speaker. Yeah, talk to the machine. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. You want to call? You can do that too. The phone number here is brand new. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. It's March. And now, because we've had this first four gimmick, it's not officially March Madness. We haven't officially gotten to the field of 64, but we're making our way. A matter of fact, we have a game that is going on right now, this minute, this second. We got Mount St. Mary's versus American. The winner has an opportunity to get smoked by Duke. Mount St. Mary's has been on a little bit of a run here. They currently lead 56-48. 5 minutes have gone by here in the second half. So still plenty of time for American to get back into things. And a little more than an hour from now, we'll have our final matchup between Xavier and Texas. The winner of that game will move ahead and take on Illinois. So we'll keep you up to date on everything going on in the NCAA tournament as we are getting close to finding out the final two teams who will make it into the field of 64. It's been a busy show so far. And talking to college basketball, speaking of college basketball, we had a chat with Cameron Salerno joining us from CBS Sports. He believes Duke is going to walk away with the national championship. Now, we talked about the Minnesota Vikings. What do they do now that they've passed on Aaron Rodgers? What does Aaron Rodgers do? What does Kirk Cousins do? We talked about some of the potential changes as it relates to the NFL this upcoming season. The owners are going to meet, and they're going to have a vote on whether or not they want to switch up some of the overtime rules, allowing both teams to get the ball regardless of what happens on the first possession. Are they going to switch up the importance of the divisions as it relates to playoff seedings? It appears that the Detroit Lions, they want to forget about division winners being guaranteed a home playoff game. They want to seed out the entire playoffs based on record. And then, well, the Packers still want to ban the tush push. Good luck on that one. I don't see that happen. And then we talked about the Dallas Cowboys, who have yet to tender an offer to Micah Parsons, which happens to be the most Micah Parsons thing ever. And so we have a whole lot more to do as the show continues on. You can find me online. I'm on the internet. I exist all over social media at JR Sport Brief. And as we continue on with the show, it's time to get into something that I do every single Wednesday. And today will be no different. It's March 19th. Tomorrow, the craziness really starts. People are going to be at work, not working. People will be filling out brackets tomorrow. We might have a few websites that are going to go out there and crash. And it's all because people are interested in the most, quote unquote, basketball-y time of the year. Hick, you've never heard that one, have you, basketball-y?
Never, but I kind of like it.
I've never heard of it either until now. Just made it up as I went along. Just basketball all day. Basketball for lunch, and basketball for brunch, and basketball for dinner, and basketball. Hickey, what comes after dinner? Basketball at night.
Dessert. Can't leave out dessert.
Oh, dessert, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, Hickey, well, you know that I told you about the sugar. You heard about LeVar Ball's
true.
His foot, right?
Yeah, scary.
Hickey, they had to cut the man's foot off because he said he didn't watch his diabetes. Come on.
I'm a little nervous about that. I do have probably a lot more sugar than I should.
It's preventable, Hickey. If you lose a foot, I hope they save it so I could throw it at you, okay?
That's very fair. That's very deserving.
Come on.
I think that's only right.
It's preventable.
Eat well. That's all you got to do.
Okay, Hickey. All right.
Easier said than done, though, I will say.
I'll check in on you in how many years? I should check in.
Well, 30? I hope like 80.
80 years to see if you still have a foot?
Yeah, I'm going nowhere for a while.
You're
going
to give it
that's
80
the
years?
If I'm 110, I lose a foot. Okay.
Oh, come on, Hickey. I'm thinking about, you know, losing a foot in a more youthful age.
You're writing me off already, huh? Wow.
No, I'm saying if you lose a foot, like it.
It'd be at what, 45?
No.
50?
No. Check
60?
In. 60? How old is LeVar Ball in his 50s? Right?
Yeah,
gotta
looks like
be.
It, yeah.
50, 60, something around there, yeah. I'll check it. I'll check in with you in about 25 to 35 years. Deal?
That's scary. Oh, my God.
If you don't have a foot, I will throw it at you.
Very fair.
Your own foot. Okay, good deal. Good deal. Yeah, eat healthy and go to the doctor, folks. Okay, follow the doctor's advice as they show the young man on a American whose leg is all bandaged up. Not because of diabetes, but because he twisted his knee. Mount St. Mary's leads American 56 to 48. One hell of a transition. It is Wednesday. It's time for a new Top 6 list. It's what I do every Wednesday. And in honor of March Madness, it's time to take a look at some of the biggest March Madness upsets we have ever seen in the history of the tournament. And I'm not going to waste any time. Maybe we'll see some more upsets over the next 28, 48 hours, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But right now, it's time for the list. So let's go.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's time to get JR's latest top six list, only on the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. March Madness is here, and so today we have a March Madness-inspired top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest upsets that we have ever seen in the history of the tournament. Now, is this a higher seed knocking off a smaller seed? Is this taking place at a championship game? Was the point spread ridiculous? Who was an underdog? Was this a first? We got a lot. Let me give you a hint. I'm putting a major emphasis on winning it all. That's just a little bit of a hint. And so having said that, you want to talk about some of the biggest upsets ever in March Madness history? We got to start with this number and this one right here.
Number six.
We have to go back to 2018. We have to go back to Virginia. We got to look at them getting beat by UMBC, losing. It's 74 to 54. This was the first time ever that a 16 seed went out and beat a number one. It was UMBC's first tournament win ever. I know we had that guy who called up asking about Michigan losing to U.S. San Diego. I'm like, what are we worried about? Well, this is what he's worried about. A matter of fact, this was a close game. It was tied at 21 at the half, and then UMBC ran away with it. They shot 50% from three, 12 of 24 from downtown. And I'll say this again. In 2018, UMBC was the first team, the first 16th seed to ever knock off a number one. I want you to listen to this from CBS. This is UMBC head coach Ryan Odom talking about making history. It's from CBS.
The biggest thing I love about this is I love seeing them smile. They're great kids. They're high character kids. They deserve it. They're playing at a high level right now. They really are. I mean, our defense is so much better than it was earlier in the season. I think that's the biggest key for us right now. We felt like we could get some shots. I wanted them to be confident. Second half, obviously, we were fortunate. They got in foul trouble. That helped us. It broke their rhythm a little bit. And, we started making shots, transition, and we just kind of limped to the end there because our guys were dead.
Man, they were making some big shots. I told you, they were 50% from three. Unfortunately for UMBC, a little Cinderella run, it didn't last long. UMBC lost to Kansas State in the next round, 50-43. But that is one of the biggest upsets that we've ever seen. Damn it, it's the first time we saw a 16th seed knock off a number one. Hey, that's number six on my list. What's the next best upset?
Number five.
Uh-oh. This is similar. What is this, deja vu? It's the second time a 16th seed knocked off a number one. We have to go back to the year 2023 as Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue. Damn it, they beat him 63-58. This is what I remember, looking at Zach Edey going, how does a team with that guy lose? But they did, just like the year before where they lost to St. Peter's. Well, I guess it's in Purdue's blood. But anyway, let me stop talking about them losing even more recently. I won't mention that. But anyway, FDU won 63-58. Purdue was a 23-point favorite. And you think about this even more. FDU had to play in a first four matchup and beat Texas Southern to even get a chance to play against Purdue. They softened them up. Well, they should have been softened up. They beat TSU 84-61, and then they went and beat the Boilermakers. This is kind of crazy. Well, I guess, speaking of losers, this guy just got fired. Their head coach, Tobin Anderson, who got fired from Iona, replacing Rick Pitino anyway. Back when he coached Fairleigh Dickinson, he talked about how big of a deal this was to beat Purdue. This was on CBS.
The lob, and that will do it. Do you believe it? For just the second time ever, a 16 beats a 1.
On Wednesday, we heard you say in the locker room, the more I watch Purdue, the more I think I can beat this. We can beat this team. What did you see on tape?
Well, I mean, I just trust our guys. I have faith in our guys. That speech got overblown, you know. We just have faith in what we do, and our guys are so tough and so competitive, you know. I'll do a better job in this locker room speech than last, but I'll be a little more competitive. It was the right message, maybe the wrong audience. But listen, I love our guys. They're tough. They're gritty. They play their tails off. That's an unbelievable win. I mean, we just did something to us. I mean, that's unbelievable. We just shocked the world, and couldn't happen to a better bunch of guys, a better bunch of fans, the family, the whole thing. So we are ecstatic. Unbelievable. We're going to stay in Columbus. I love it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Florida Atlantic knocked them off in the next round. And I guess for Tobin Anderson, that sweet smell of victory has worn off as he got fired. Not as the head coach of Fairleigh Dickinson. He went to Iona, but Iona just told him goodbye. A hard knock life that is. Anyway, Fairleigh Dickinson knocking off Purdue 2 years ago. I got that at number five on my list. The fifth biggest upset in March Madness history. What's the next number?
Number four.
Oh, how about this? This is actually a championship game. This is a game that took place in 1999 down in Tampa, Florida, in a place that doesn't have a roof right now. UConn beat Duke to win their first national championship. Now, let's be clear. Duke was already Duke. Heading into this tournament, they won 32 straight games. And Jim Calhoun and the Huskies, well, they started their dynasty. They won what is ultimately their first out of what is now six national championships. Don't tell Dan Hurley. He might try to convince you that he won all of them by himself. This was a big deal. Rip Hamilton, before his face was broken in the NBA, he went out there and helped UConn by winning the MVP. And the dynasty for UConn, it got started. It's number four on my list. Listen to this final call of UConn beating Duke down in Tampa to win their first championship. This is courtesy of CBS.
You'll need a three to tie. Trajan Langdon's going to take the length of the floor and try to get it off. He doesn't have a lot of time here.
Pressure from Jones. Langdon trips. And UConn has done it. We shot the world. Folks, you gotta believe, because just when people say you can't, you can, and UConn has won the national championship in its first attempt in a final.
Oh man, and all they've done, they beat Duke. The final score there was 77-74. All they've done is keep winning and winning and winning and winning and winning and winning and winning some more. So much that Dan Hurley is a pain in the ass and he wasn't even around for the majority of it. I got UConn over Duke in the championship in 99. At number four on my list, one of the biggest March Madness upsets ever. Yeah, UConn won a championship. What tops that? What's the next number?
Number three.
Oh, how about this? We discussed this yesterday as we praised Tom Izzo for his 27th consecutive March Madness appearance. As we talked about Tom Izzo winning it big in 2000, and every year he's there. And if he's around, you know you're getting into the tournament with the Spartans. Well, in 2016, it wasn't so sweet for Michigan State. Yesterday, in 2016, they lost to Middle Tennessee, 90-81. A matter of fact, Tom Izzo and the Spartans, they were one of the favorites to win the title. And Middle Tennessee went crazy from downtown. 11 of 19 from three, they scorched them. And Middle Tennessee became the 8th, 15th seed to upset a 2 seed in the first round. Tom Izzo, not so happy. Kermit Davis from Middle Tennessee, he was happy about the upset. Listen to this.
Well, I've just been with our guys all year long, and they've been so resilient, so poised in the moment. We have so much respect for Michigan State, and just I've admired the culture for many, many years. So to be a program like that, it's a great, great day for our university.
Yeah, you knock him off. What do you do after that? You have a drink and then wait to be eliminated. Congratulations, Middle Tennessee. That was back in 2016. Tom Izzo doesn't want any of those problems, none at all, this year. That's number three on my list. We're talking about the biggest upsets in March Madness history. If I got that at three, what's next?
Number two.
Oh, this is history. I feel this gets replayed at this time every year about a million different times. It is NC State. It is the Wolfpack over Houston. That's right. That's right. I'm taking us to North Carolina State over Houston. Let's keep this in mind. This is 1983. NC State was a 16th seed. They ended up winning 54-52. The end of this game was absolutely nuts and crazy. Lorenzo Charles with the putback dunk. Akeem was losing his mind and still lost. A matter of fact, he was the most outstanding player on a losing team. North Carolina State over Houston with Jim Valvano. That was more than historic. That was legendary. And it helped inspire more people than that, especially given Jim Valvano's history and helping to raise awareness and ultimately even afterlife about cancer. I want you to listen to this final call of the Wolfpack upsetting Houston. This is courtesy of CBS.
Got a drive to the basket. It's down to 7 seconds.
You can see the time. Wittenberg. Oh, it's a long ways.
They won it. On the dunk.
Yeah, I told you about Lorenzo Charles with that dunk. And yeah, no winning dunk there for Fire Slammer Jammer. Not that year. North Carolina State over Houston. And then the reaction that you will see over and over again. Well, damn it, that was one of the biggest upsets that we have ever seen in March Madness history. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. The Mount St. Mary's Mountaineers lead American 68-51. And they might be making their case real soon in a few minutes. Not their case, but they may officially be entering into the tournament. I'll give you an update on that game on the other side of the break. And then, of course, it's a top six list. I'm going to tell you about the biggest upset in March Madness history. We'll do that on the other side. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I am giving you a new top six list, as I do every single Wednesday. And today, I'm sharing with you a top six list of some of the biggest upsets that we have ever seen in March Madness history. In a few seconds, I'm going to share with you who we have here at number one. Let me give you a quick recap as we make our way on down to numero uno. At number six on the list, I had UMBC over Virginia. They beat them in 2018 74-54. This was the first time ever that a number 16 seed went out and beat a number one. And number five on the list, you want to talk about a 16 seed beating a number one? This is the second time it ever happened, as Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue in 2023. They beat him 63-58. I'll never forget big old Zach Edey walking off of that court and big old Zach Edey looking very, very miserable. And number four on the list, biggest March Madness update. Number four, UConn knocking off Duke for their first championship back in 1999. UConn won 77-74. Rip Hamilton, he was your MVP for UConn. If you really think about this, it's only about, what, 4 or 5 years later that Rip Hamilton was winning a championship in the NBA. Not somebody that you look at and go, oh, man, one of the best, but I don't think there's been an NBA player that's run around as much as him since Steph Curry. What a world. And number three, biggest March Madness upset, Middle Tennessee over the Spartans of Michigan State, 90-81. They knocked them off in 2016. This wasn't quite a 16-1, but this was a 15-2 seed that was expected to compete in the national championship. Yeah, not the most glorious moment for Tom Izzo back in 2016. This feels like it was yesterday. Damn, it was almost 10 years ago. At number two, this was historic. North Carolina State knocking off Houston. Yeah, knocking off those Cougars. Fire slammer jammer led by one of my favorite basketball players of all time, Hakeem Olajuwon. This man was named the most outstanding player on a losing team. I know Hakeem, if he had it his way, he would trade that in, as North Carolina State, led by Jim Valvano, went out there and beat Houston. Last second putback dunk, the final score was 54-52. You'll probably see that clip. You'll probably see that image. You'll probably see Jim Valvano running around. Probably see it about a million times over the next month. And so if I got a championship game, if I got a putback as the biggest upset in March Madness history, if I got that on the list at number two, where in the heck could that possibly leave us? It leaves us right here.
Number one.
If I have to think about the biggest upset in March Madness history, it has to be another championship game, right? It has to be one of the most unexpected victories that I think we've probably ever seen in college sports. I'm going back to 1985 when Villanova beat Georgetown 66-64. Georgetown went throughout the course of the year with a record of 35-2. Georgetown had five NBA players, five legitimate NBA players, led by an all-time great in Patrick Ewing. And they still lost. Meanwhile, you look at Villanova. They went 19-10 on the year. It's like every single game that they played in the tournament was close. But when it came down to the actual game, Villanova put Patrick Ewing in foul trouble. They abused the fact that there was no clock. And Villanova shot an absolutely ridiculous 79% from the field. It's like the stars aligned and they got exactly what they wanted. It's Villanova over Georgetown back in 1985 is the biggest upset I have on my list here in March Madness history. Their head coach of Villanova, Rolly Massimino, he spoke after the game. He was having a chat with CBS. They were having a chat with him, and he talked about winning this championship over those Dogs.
Rolly, nobody thought they could do it.
No one thought we could do it, but I did, and so did they. They played a great basketball game. I'm not even excited. I think it's real. It's April Fool's. This really didn't happen.
Did Georgetown win? April Fool's.
It ain't April Fool's. We won.
Yeah, you got to love it. You sound like the type of coach that'll smoke a cigar and punch you in the face if you don't get it right. I got Villanova over Georgetown, one of my greatest or as the greatest March Madness upset ever. You know, and speaking of Patrick Ewing in an unrelated way, and speaking of Georgetown, unfortunately, he didn't have success there. They fired him. One of my favorite clips of all time from any college coach, speaking of Rolly Massimino, is when Patrick Ewing sat on the bench. Hickey, remember when he told one of his kids, he's like, who taught you to shoot that shot? You shoot that shot? Do you practice that shot? When? You remember that?
Yes, that was great. Dead in the eye. When do you practice that shot? Why are you taking that shot in the game? It was very funny.
Who taught you that shot? The guy must have responded, yes, I practice. He's like, when? I've never seen you shoot that shot. It just seemed like something that every coach at one point in time yells at a student or an athlete or a player. Except for this time, the camera was just firmly on Patrick Ewing, and Patrick Ewing was talking that crap in only the way Patrick Ewing could. Yeah, that's some fun stuff there. Phone lines are open if you want to give a holler. Do you have an upset? Is there an upset that stands out to you? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we come back, I want to get Hickey's thoughts. Is there an upset that stands out to him? We'll see on the other side of the break. And then also, I talked about Rip Hamilton running around. And before Rip Hamilton, the guy that ran around was Reggie Miller. Well, the guy who does a lot of running around now, Steph Curry. Yesterday, we talked about how he sounded sick and tired. Well, he got a rest last night, and Jimmy Butler kept the Golden State Warriors going. Oh, yeah, and Draymond Green, too. Now Draymond Green wants an award. We'll get into all of that on the other side of the break. We'll talk more about some upsets.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. There's about 2.5 minutes left here in this first four matchup between Mount St. Mary's and American. Mount St. Mary's is trying to hold on and advance to the tournament. They currently lead 83-72. The head coach for American decided to fall on the ground after a call. Cost his team a point as Mount St. Mary's knocked down a technical free throw. And not the best idea while your team is down about 10 points, 2.5 minutes left. Why are you giving the coaches giving away points? By being overly dramatic, by falling on the floor after a call? Like, what are we doing? Oh, my God. Hickey, that's going to be one of those moments that people just, and maybe not. I don't even remember. Who was the coach? Was it like a couple years ago? The guy fell off his scooter. Remember that? He was celebrating.
Oh, it's actually a tease ahead to this day in sports history. Ron Hunter.
Ah, was that today?
That was today. His son, RJ Hunter, drained the three to beat Baylor.
And he fell off the scooter.
A torn Achilles, I think he had?
Yeah, I think it was. He had that big old boot on. Yeah. Wow.
If your son hits a last second shot to give yourself a massive upset, I'd probably fall off the stool too.
Yeah, but you know, that was a good moment. As everybody got a little bit of a teaser about this day in sports history, that was good. What this guy just did was bad. Hickey, have you ever seen that before?
No. No. And you know what? I'm surprised Danny Hurley hasn't busted that out yet.
What, just throw himself on the floor?
He's done everything else.
I don't know. I get it. This is like, nobody will ever see American here again. Nobody's checking for him. I don't want to say act like you've been here before, but like, I've never seen a coach at the college level or the professional level. We've seen him curse, yell, and scream, but to throw yourself on the floor, he threw himself on the floor in shock. Like, oh, he fell back. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Like, come on, man. I'm thinking of all the coaches that I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen any of them just fall on the floor. Coach K's not getting on the floor. He's too old. You know what, Hickey?
Well, he did get on the floor one time, but he was sick, though.
Oh, well, Hickey, come on, man.
I'm just making technically.
Saying intentionally throw yourself on the floor. You know someone who might do that?
Who?
I could see Bobby Knight throwing himself on the floor, right?
Is it the next closest thing?
God rest his soul. I could see him. I'm either going to throw a chair or I'm going to throw myself. Pick one, you know? So.
Chair just happened to be in his line of sight, and I'm sure the next time would have followed up with himself.
Hey, let me just throw myself on the floor. And the only time I've ever seen a player throw himself on the floor is LeBron James. I think it was the whistle blew at the end of the game, like the game was over, and he was upset, right?
Oh, was that the Celtics game when he got fouled?
I think so. LeBron James, the announcer's like, LeBron James on his hands and knees.
Was that the same game? I think it might have been. That Pat Bev came over to the referee with the camera?
I think so. Was it?
And it was like foul?
After the game. And he was, no, that was during the game, wasn't it, right?
Because I believe, I'm not mistaken, I think that shot would have given the Lakers the win. I think that game went to overtime when they lost. So maybe in overtime, Pat Bev showed the refs like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
That was 2 years ago against the Boston Celtics. LeBron James threw himself on the floor. LeBron James on the floor, on the ground, on his hands and on his knees. Yep. And that's not going to go into his career highlight. Whenever they play LeBron James going into the Hall of Fame, they're not going to show that clip. What a world. Hickey, do you have an upset? Did we miss any of them? Anything that stand out to you?
There is one, and this is, you know, classic Duke hatred. I guess you really either love Duke or hate Duke.
Okay.
How about Lehigh? 2012, 15 seed, taking on the 2 seed Dukies. CJ McCollum, kind of welcome to basically America in terms of that breakout game before getting drafted pretty high. Fun little upset there.
What did Duke do to you?
I'll say it's more Coach K than Duke. What I don't really hate Duke anymore, but Coach K's very pretentious, stuck up.
You think so?
Yeah. Every loss is now a sermon. He has to, you know, go coach the other coach, go coach the other team.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot stand Coach K.
So do you feel different now that he's gone?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I don't hate Duke as much. I mean, I don't root for them, but, you know, I think it's kind of they're like Notre Dame of football, or I guess Notre Dame of basketball. You either love them or you hate him. It's kind of tough to feel indifferent about a school like Duke.
Little too clean cut and goody two shoes for me. That's just my opinion. But I ain't got no hate for him.
No?
I don't have a team. You know, Hickey, to be honest, I don't even have a college basketball team that I root for. Like, your school doesn't do a damn thing worth anything in basketball.
They suck.
Yeah, who cares, right? Nobody cares.
Well, I mean, I'd like for them to win. I would care more if they won.
Who do you root for? There's no alternative here?
No.
Wow. I don't have anybody, Iggy.
Not even Georgia? They're in the field.
No. After Anthony Edwards, no, not really.
So you don't care? They play. There's no, like, let's go Dogs, root for them. No.
For football, yes. For basketball, no. No.
Any, like, New York City schools locally here, colleges that, you know, you have a no?
Nope. I guess the closest good team I lived near when I lived in New York might have been Iona. I do not care. St. John's growing up was pretty good here and there. Lou Carnesecca with everybody from Chris Mullin down to Ron Artest and Felipe Lopez at times. Yeah, I cared. But listen, I wish I had a school that I could gravitate towards on the basketball side. There's none. There's not one. Not here in Georgia, not New York. You know what? I take that back. And you know what? This changed when Shaka Smart left. I spent a lot of time in my life up in Richmond with my family. I like the Spiders, Hickey. You know what? I think I was going to say at one point in time. I guess now I don't. It's a good question. Where is it? And some family member stole it from me, possibly. Like, I had a lot of Richmond Spiders gear. I don't know where it is.
Do you say, like, go Spiders, or is it, like, crawl Spiders, or what's the, you got to
No, it's just, it's just a spider.
Just a spider, okay.
Just a spider, yeah. Yeah, but there we go. And then every now and then VCU. So, yeah, I guess those are the teams, but when the coaches leave, I don't care anymore. That's the part that sucks for the smaller schools. It's like once the coach decides to bail, like, who cares anymore? Like Dusty May does all that help down in Florida, and they build up the facility. But I guess at that point, after you invest money in and things are good, you don't care if he leaves, right? Do you care? You got a new facility. You now have, you're more attractive, but then you still don't win.
I mean, it's kind of both, right? Like you said, I mean, he put Dusty May, at least looking at FAU, he put him on the map. More people now look at that school than they otherwise would. Like you said, the facilities now are improved. So it sucks that he left. Definitely took a step back, but the foundation, or maybe I guess the better way to say it, the floor is a lot higher now at FAU than it was 3 years ago.
You're right.
And that's at least, you know, positive going forward. No?
Where are they right now? Are they playing basketball tomorrow?
They're not. No.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I mean.
And what's he doing? What's he doing?
He's up in the 5 seed.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a turnoff for me, right? Like, I want to root for a team, and then everybody leaves. Like, there's no, outside of going to the school, there's no stake in the ground. You get what I'm saying? And maybe that's why. I mean, I went to Baruch College in Manhattan. I don't know if I don't even know what division basketball we played, okay? Division 8. All right? Hickey, I think we were the Bearcats, I think.
Oh, boy.
The Baruch Bearcats?
Baruch. How do you spell Baruch?
B-A-R-U-C-H.
Okay.
Baruch Bearcat. And 23rd Street in Lexington Avenue. Big spaceship in the middle of nowhere. Just took all my money until I said no more. Our claim to fame is that sometimes the NBA teams would come by and use the gym.
Hey, that's something.
Hickey, you know how many times I went in that gym?
Zero.
Never.
You never watched one game of Baruch?
If I did, it's one of those things where, did I? There you go. Did I see that?
Come on. One game in four years?
Nope. You know what?
They're like 20 home games a year.
I think the only time I've been in that gym, really, and all, this is crazy. This is after I left the school for a celebrity basketball game. That's the only time I've been.
Okay, so you got some celebs coming to Baruch. Not to watch the game, but to play in a totally different event. But hey, something.
Yeah. Shout out to my guy Edgar and Fat Joe. Yeah, they put a basketball game on in there.
Wow. How's the arena? I guess it's not that nice.
Arena? Gym?
Gym. How's the gym?
Like, what constitutes an arena? How many people? Does Fordham have an arena? Hickey, how about that? If the Rams were there, I'd root for them.
Okay. My sister went there. They're not very good.
Yeah, shout outs to Eddie Cole. I like, he's the boss man, the athletic director up there. I root for Fordham if they was. Hickey, so there you have it. The Bronx, Fordham, how could I forget them? I'm an idiot.
Okay, so you got a team after all. They're not very good, but hey, you got a team.
As I sit here in a studio with a Drexel shirt on.
Hey. Okay.
What a guy. Oh, who's that? Is that Greg in the back? He went to Drexel?
No, I went to Temple, but I like the Philly school representation.
Oh, yeah. The Drexel treated me better than the people at Temple, so there you have it.
Well, now I regret being happy.
It's okay. It's all right. I was born in Philly, so whatever, but I'm sitting here with a Drexel shirt on. I don't root for them. If Tulane had a decent team. Hickey, by the way, Tulane plays in like a high school gymnasium, okay?
Really? Can't say I've ever seen a Tulane home game.
They got all the money in the world. And I don't even know if their gym has stands in it, all right? They put all the money into the football team now. The basketball team plays in, it's smaller than a high school gym.
Wow.
So, there you have it. But anyway, would you consider Fordham to be an arena? It's not an arena.
It's like 2,000 people.
What do they call it? An auditorium? Rose Hill Auditorium?
I think it's Rose Hill Gym.
Gym, there you go.
Gym. Yeah, I think that's fair representation. It's a gym.
It's a gym. I wonder how many people before you become an arena. 3,000? 4,000? 4,000? 5,000?
I'd say 5,000. 5,000 feels about right.
5,000.
Even number?
5,000 in an arena. How about that? But we know where Greg, you just like your Temple, the Owls, you just go for them?
Yeah, I'm like Ryan, no backups. Temple, I was actually talking about it with him. Temple last made the tournament, quote-unquote, in 2019 in the first four. They lost the game. So, to me, that doesn't count. Oh, so, the last time they were in the field of 64 was back in 2016. So, unfortunately, getting used to not watching the Owls in the middle of March.
Yeah, I can't do it. It's hard to just hook up with a team and coach leaves, team sucks, players leave, they get recycled. It's just tough. And then if you root for a coach who's been around for a long time, you're just a front runner, right? Picking Duke and saying, oh, I'm going to go for Michigan, Michigan State.
Those people are the worst.
Yeah, it's just front running. I got to find a team that's good, that's going to be around, but isn't guaranteed to win. UConn would be fun to root for, but their coach is a jerk. I'm going to think more about this. You can't root for Fordham every year. They suck. They even go. Or St. John's. When Rick Pitino leaves, they're going to go back into the toilet. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we'll give you an update on the first four because we have a team that has advanced. And I didn't forget about the Golden State Warriors. More NFL, NBA, and of course, an update on March Madness on the other side. The JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.